The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 2, Text Number 18, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on January 20th, 2010, in Lima, Peru.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter Number 2, Text Number 18. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Ko va amushangri sarojarenam. Vismartami shita puman vijigran. Yo visparad bru vitapena bhumer. Varankritantena narashchakara. Ko va amushangri sarojarenam. Vismartumi shita puman vijigran. Yo visparad bru vitapena bhumer. Varankritantena tirashchakara. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, who, after smelling the dust of his lotus feet, even once, could ever forget it, simply by expanding the leaves of his eyebrows, Krishna has given the death blow to those who were burdening the earth. Purport. Lord Krishna cannot be accepted as one of the human beings, even though he played the role of an obedient son. His actions were so extraordinary that simply by the raising of his eyebrows, he could deliver death blows to those who were burdening the earth.
¿Quién podría olvidar jamás haber olido siquiera una vez el polvo de sus pies de loto? Simplemente con expandir sus cejas similares a hojas, Krishna ha dado el golpe mortal a aquellos que eran una carga para la tierra. Significado: a Sri Krishna no puede tomársele por uno de los seres humanos, aun a pesar de que hiciera el papel de un hijo obediente. Sus acciones eran tan extraordinarias que con simplemente levantar sus cejas podía asestarles golpes mortales a aquellos que eran una carga para la tierra.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Parakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Sajiva Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva. Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So just imagine how powerful is Krishna. He can easily kill anybody he wants. Just by raising his eyebrows. Yeah. He's very, very powerful. So when somebody is that powerful, do you want to be on his good side or on his bad side? Do you want to be amigo or enemy? What would you rather be? Someone is power to be their friend or be their enemy? If they're that powerful. Obviously, he wants me, the smart person to be friends with that person. You see, he wouldn't be enemy. Be on the friendly side.
That's it.
But the foolish, materialistic people, they are fighting against Krishna. They say there is no God. The God is simply a myth. Or they say there is a God, but he has no form and no personality. That is cheating. At least the atheist honestly says, I don't believe in God. But the impersonalist, he says, I believe in God, but God has no form and no personality. So they are cheating. They are pretending to be a theist. But actually, they are pretending to be a theist. The monists, the impersonalists, are pretending to be theists. Theist means one who believes in God. But yet they deny everything about God. Let him do it. If he can't do it, you can help him. They say that God can't see. He can't hear. He can't walk. He's a complete invalid. He's blind, deaf, and dumb. And completely paralyzed. You see, what sort of nonsense is this? Therefore, these impersonalists are the biggest rascals, you see. One should be very... expert, how to defeat this impersonal philosophy. Prabhupada was always speaking out against the Mayavadis. And this Mayavadi philosophy is very common. Last year I was teaching to some Catholic some young men who were studying to be Catholic priests. They came to visit our Los Angeles temple on Sunday morning. And the devotees that wanted me to take breakfast with them and preach to them. And I was seeing this one Catholic student who was studying to be a priest, he was he believed in impersonal philosophy. So even within the Catholic Church, there is impersonal philosophy. The God is the oneness. The impersonalists say you have to merge and become one. They say that is spiritual perfection. Perfection is spiritual. To merge into God and become God. They say it's like a drop of water. It's like the drop of water entering into the ocean. It becomes one with the ocean. But does it become the complete whole ocean? No. Within a drop of water, there are so many individual molecules. And they remain individual molecules. The drop of ocean water does not become the ocean. Each water molecule still has its individuality. So, that's the example the impersonalists are very fond of using. That you are a drop and God is the ocean. Now you merge and become the ocean. That example does not support impersonal philosophy. That example supports Vaishnava philosophy, actually. Because within each drop, there's so many molecules. And they retain their individuality. So it's not that when you enter the spiritual world, you merge and become God. Although it may appear in that way. It may appear to be that you're merging. Just like when a green bird lands in a green tree. You can look at that tree and say, well, the bird has now disappeared. He has merged into the tree. But did that bird become the tree? No, he's still a bird. It looks like he's become the tree because he's green. Just like where they have the green birds in Vrindavan, you see. We've seen the green birds in Vrindavan. But a green bird landing in a green tree does not mean he becomes a tree. He's still a separate being. So when you go back to the spiritual world, you do not merge and become God. If there was merging between you and God, then how could love exist? Would you like to live in a world without love? Would you like to live in a world without love? Where there's no love? Would you like to be in a place where there's no love? Anybody would like to be in a place where there's no love? So, if you merge and become God, then there's no love. Because love means two. Krishna and you. If there's no two people that can exchange love, then love cannot exist. Unless there's individuality in the spiritual world, there can be no love. Because love is an exchange between two individuals. So if you merge and lose your individuality, then you cannot have any loving relationship with God. So So if you want love, then you have to maintain your individuality.
Si tú quieres amor, debes mantener la individualidad.
Therefore, the Vaishnavas deride even the conception of impersonal liberation.
Por eso es que los Vaishnavas se manejan con un concepto personal de liberación.
They want nothing to do with such a rascal philosophy.
No tienen nada que hacer con la filosofía de los bribones.
It is described as Sayuja Mukti, merging into God. But actually they don't merge. They simply think that they have merged. Therefore Bhagavatam says, Aruya Krichchena Parangpadam Sada Patantyato Nadrita Dushmadangraya. That even after undergoing great penances and austerities, after these impersonalists do great penances and austerities, and they experience the sensation of merging into Brahman, patanti yadho, they fall down again. Why? Because they have no respect for Lord Krishna's lotus feet. So this impersonal philosophy cannot liberate you. Although one may temporarily think, I am liberated. But then they come again to the platform of samsara. I was, before I met the devotees, I was a follower of this impersonal philosophy. And I was reading all these books by the Mayavadis. So they told me that I was Krishna. And I thought I was Krishna. When I first went to the Hare Krishna temple in San Francisco, I was chanting in the temple room. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. And when Brahmacharini, she came to me and she said, oh, you're chanting so nicely. And I, in my head, I was laughing. That if she only knew that I am Krishna. That's how much of a Mahavadi I was. You see, I thought I was Krishna. So this Mahavadi philosophy makes you think that you're Krishna. But if you're Krishna, why do you have to run to the bathroom? When your bladder starts yelling, screaming at you. Why do you have to run to the toilet if you're Krishna? You see? Why do you have to go to the dentist when you get a toothache? If you're actually God, then you control everything. Everything is under your power. Why do you have to go to work on Monday morning if you're God, you see? You have unlimited money. You have unlimited power. You have control over time even. It's like we see these bogus incarnations. There was one, he was called Dada Bhagavan. So in Dada means old man. Old man. Just see the nonsense. Dada Bhagavan, old man Bhagavan. Krishna is described in the Bhagavatam Navi Yovanam. He's an ever fresh youth. And these rascal Mayavadis are saying, oh look, here is Dada Bhagavan. Old man Bhagavan. That is not Bhagavan. There was one young boy, he was called Bal Yogi Guru Maharajji. He was a young boy, and he claimed to be God. And everybody believed him. He had a big movement called the, I forget what it was called, the Divine Light Mission or something. He had thousands and thousands of followers all over the world. Huh? The Premis. Bal Yogi Guru Maharajji. So his followers were called Premis. Like Prema, you know? And he was claiming to be God. But he was giving one press conference. And somebody came up and put threw a pie in his face. A pie? You know, pie? They put a pie in his face. When Prabhupada heard that, he was very happy that they'd put a pie in his face. And he said, our men also should go and throw that pie in his face. And then Prabhupada got even more heavy. He said they should pass urine in his face. Anybody who is claiming to be God, you see. They're an enemy. It's like there's one lady, they call her Ama. She goes all over the world and she hugs people. And it's supposed to be a blessing, you see. You get hugged by Ama. Ama will give you a big hug, you see. People stand in, they go to the hotel and they stand in a line for 2 hours to get their hug, you see. So this Ama claims to be Krishna. And the people are so foolish, they go running for this bogus guru, Ama. You see, they say, well, I meditated and I became God, you see. But Krishna did not have to meditate to become God. He was God from the very beginning. He didn't have to undergo any process of self-realization. In the very beginning. He appeared there in the prison of Kamsa and Mathura. And by his power, the guards fell asleep, the doors to the prison opened. Everything. He showed full power even from the very beginning. That who came as the mother? What was her name? That demon who put the present on her breast? Putana, yeah. So Putana came. There's that little baby. And she came as a nurse, that I will nurse the baby with my breast milk. But she put poison on her breast to kill the baby. The Krishna was so powerful, the poison did not hurt him. And he sucked the milk from her breast. And he sucked the life out of her body and killed her by sucking. She was shrieking in agony. Leave me, leave me, leave me. But Krishna wouldn't let go and he killed her. And then after she was dead, her body expanded to its original demand form as a big demon. Became miles long, you see. And her breast became as big as a huge mountain. And Krishna was up there on top of the mountain sucking her breast, you see. But he was a little baby, you see. He could kill the big, huge demon, no problem. See, for Krishna, this is actual God, you see. He can kill a huge demon with no problem. Just by raising his eyebrows, he can kill. Raising the eyebrows. When he went to Mathura, you know that story, the washerman? Just imagine all these boys are coming from the village, you see, village boys. And they come to the, just like somebody lives in a small village out there in Peru somewhere in the mountains. And they've never been to that big city called Lima. And so one day they come to the big, they get on the bus and they come to Lima and they're going, oh, look at all these big buildings. All these thousands of people, and they're just amazed to see the big city, you see. Because their whole life they only known the village life. So Krishna came with all his village boyfriends, the cowherd boys. They came into Mathura to check out the scene. And they saw this washerman. The washerman. Dobi, laundry man. He had all these beautiful clothes. He was the laundry man of Kamsa. He had all these royal clothes for the king, you see. The king's royal clothes. Yes, and it looked very attractive to Krishna. He liked those that royal clothing, you see. So he told the laundry man, he said, you give me those clothes. The laundry man said, you crazy? Loco? Do you know what you're saying? This is the property of the king? Everyone here is bows down to the king in this city. And you're asking me to give the king's clothes to you? You're loquísimo. You foolish boy. You see, so what did Krishna do? Cut off his head. That is God. You see? And then Krishna took those clothes, the king's royal garments, and he put them on. And the rest of the garments he gave to all the cowherd boys. So now they're dressed like kings and princes, you see. And checking out this big city, Mathura, you see. So that is God, you see. He's not intimidated by anyone. Nobody can intimidate him. No one can put him down. He's never defeated by anyone. So these Mayavadis who claim to be God is just simply nonsense. This Guru Maharaj is claiming to be God. And somebody can throw a pie in his face and get away with it, you see. You could never throw a pie in Krishna's face and get away with it. So, this is simply rascaldom. So, these Mayavadis must be defeated. We must kick out this impersonal idea of God. As I gave the example the other day of the gold and the gold mine. Since God is the source of unlimited numbers of persons, God must possess personality. You can't get gold from a goldless gold mine. Nor can you get unlimited persons out of an impersonal source of existence. The source of existence must possess personality. Otherwise, you cannot get so many personalities out of it. And since this, since we can understand that it has personality, how can we call it it? How can we call it it? Is that very polite? If I call you it, will you like it? It's wearing a nice t-shirt today. Its bead bag is interesting. Would you like me to call you it? Would anybody like to be called it? Would anybody like to be called it? Its glasses are interesting. You see, would anybody like to be called it? Nobody would like. What do you mean calling me it? I'm a person. So how we can call the source of all existence is it? There's a person there. A person wants to be respected as a person. Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement is the most important movement in todo el mundo. To enlighten everyone that God has a personality. This movement is to enlighten everybody that God has a personality. Even the Christians now, they're becoming polluted by impersonal philosophy. And we see how they're becoming degraded in moral principles also. Their morality, their moral principles are going to hell. In the U.S., there's a bishop, in a Christian bishop, who is homosexual. He lives with his gay boyfriend. Yeah, he's gay, and he's the bishop of the. He's a big bishop. He's in charge of one state in the U.S. It's called Vermont. And he's the bishop of the state of Vermont. He's a gay man having this stupid gay sex with another gay man. And they made him the bishop. He wasn't secret about being gay. He was openly saying, I'm gay. And they said, well, that's all right. We'll put you in charge of the church. So this is what is happening in the Christian world. You see, these gay people are becoming more and more prominent leaders in the Christian church. Because the impersonal conception is coming to the Christian church. So we have to keep the proper understanding that God is a person. And therefore he has a name also. Persons have names. They call him God. But God is not his name. God means a position, that you're the Supreme Person, that's all. Just like El Presidente. That doesn't give you his name. It gives you his position. So someone who knows God as the President, they don't know, they're not his, they don't, their knowledge, someone who knows the leader of the country as the President, he is not as knowledgeable as someone who knows the President's name. So, to know the name of God, that is more advanced position. And to know the most intimate name of God, that is the most advanced position. So in this Krishna consciousness movement, we are getting, Prabhupada is giving us the intimate knowledge of God. What is his name? What is his address? Everything. But they don't have this outside of this movement. They don't, outside of ISKCON, they don't have this detailed information. So therefore, ISKCON is the most important institution in the whole world. For educating the human society on who is God and how to have a perfect relationship with God. So, we have a few minutes left. I can ask if there's any questions. Oh, how can we prove that there is God? Person? Is that the question?
How to prove?
Which is the empirical proof about the existence of God?
Yes. How do you know? In chemistry, there's a formula, H2O equals water. So how do you know it's true? You can go to the laboratory and do it. You can do it in a test tube. I know, I did it too. We went to the chemistry lab, and they told us how to combine the hydrogen and the oxygen, and we got water in the test tube. Yeah. So in the same way, you have a test tube. It is your consciousness. You see. So we give you an experiment you can do in the laboratory. Remember, performing this experiment, you will see God face to face. Then you will know there is God. You understand? We will teach you how to do an experiment in the laboratory of your heart. And by performing this experiment, you will see God directly, face to face. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yangshamashundaramachintyagunasvarupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. You see? If you will do this experiment, if you will take Premanjana, and you will anoint your eyes with this Premanjana. What's the word for ointment in Spanish? Ointment. Ointment. Ungüento. Yeah. So if you take that ungüento, that premunvento, ungüento, and you anoint your eyes with that, then you will see God. So then you will know there is God. Thus you know there is water by doing the experiment. If you anoint your eyes with Premanjana, then you will know there is God. You will see God directly. No problema. So now do the experiment. Anoint your eyes with Premanjana. And then you will see God. You have to strictly follow the rules and regulations. You have to fully surrender yourself to the bona fide spiritual master. You see? Just like it's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Rajastamasta sattvena sattvang chopashamenava etat sarvam guru bhaktya purusho hyanjasadaya. Which means one should conquer over the modes of passion and ignorance by coming to the mode of goodness. And then one should conquer over goodness by elevating oneself to the platform of pure goodness. But this can be automatically done.
Pero esto es automático.
Simply by serving the spiritual master with faith and love.
Por simplemente servir al maestro espiritual con fe y amor.
So in this way, one can easily conquer over the modes of nature.
De esta manera uno fácilmente puede conquistar la modalidad natural.
So if you want to see God,
entonces, para ver a Dios,
how will you purify yourself from the modes of nature? Simply by the process of serving the spiritual master with faith and devotion, you will come to that point of seeing God directly, face to face. Any other questions? Okay, so let's see. Jai. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.